Good evening. I bring greetings to you from New Covenant Missionary Baptist Church, Ghana, in Atibubu, in West Africa. And I would like to just update you about what we are doing up there first before I go on with the message. My message tonight. We have 5 churches now in Ghana, and it all started in 1996 when Brother Bryson and Brother Terry Patterson came and they organized Mount Zion. I was a member of Mount Zion when I was given an arm to go to the north, which is about 100 miles from Mount Zion, to do mission work. And 6 months after Mount Zion has been organized, New Covenant was also organized on the 14th September 1997. I have 4 missions now under New Covenant. One of the missions was organized about 4 years ago, Trinity Missionary Baptist Church, where just about 6 months ago, the pastor broke from the church and took almost all the members away. We still have about 12 people coming, and I found another mission just about last year, so we still have 4 missions going on under New Covenant. Mount Zion has 1 mission going on in our capital city in Accra, which our brothers came in last fall, in November. They had a revival where 7 people got saved, and 15 people are going under that mission. We've tried about 3 times in Accra, and it was not successful. So we need your prayer that this time the mission will be successful. And so far, from 1997 up to now, which is about 15 years, 5 churches has been organized in Ghana with hundreds of people saved. And New Covenant, where I am, in the about 100 miles from Kumasi, where Brother Samuel is, and about 245 miles from Brother Frank. I am in the northern part of Ghana. And the northern part is where there are Muslims and pagans, and there are many places that are unreached. That is in the northern part. So there are so many places that we can have missions. But we don't have preachers who are helping me over there. I'm the only preacher, one preacher who announced his call to preach, has gone to school for a long time. So all the missions, we have some teachers who are teaching, and I go around all the missions one after the other. So my prayer is God call more preachers so that we can have more missions coming up, because we can go to about 10 miles and there will be no church over there where we can start something. When we bought our property for New Covenant Church to be built, there was a school, and that school was was established by a Muslim, and there were 200 children going in that school before we bought the property. And we took over the school, and we reached about 500 people, and the children, 6 batches graduated. Later, the Muslims saw that the children were getting saved and were using them to do different things. So they established their own Arabic school and started withdrawing the children. And the government also introduced free feeding and free education. So they withdrew most of our children and the school had to collapse. We started again. Our prayer is that God help us, because we have the chance to preach to the children. Every Wednesday, we have 1 hour to preach to their children. And so this time, we've started with some few children, and our prayer is God helps us so that we can reach their children. And we've started some Bible clubs in around the town, about 34 different Bible clubs. It was being financed by World Vision International, which is a non-governmental organization which is based in the U.S. here. And the coordinator of the Bible club is from our church, And so most of these children meet in our church. About 100 children meet almost every week, two times in the time of when they are in school and three times when they are vacated. And so right now, the children keep meeting. God helps us so these children continue, because these children are from different backgrounds. There are Catholics, Pentecostals, and all of them coming. But God has helped us so that some of these children are getting saved. Last fall, four of them got saved. And so our prayer is that God will use us to be able to reach those children, for them to know the truth. So as this time is the vacation, and they are meeting almost every day, and you can get about hundreds of children in the church every day, and that's a very good encouragement for me, because our place is a farming area, and during the raining season, most of them go on their farms, and the number keeps fluctuating. We have 50 members coming and the new covenant, but the numbers sometimes goes down and sometimes comes up, but the children are there all the time, and so it has been a help to us. And just last year, we started another organization, widows organization, called Jesus Vision Foundation, where we meet in our churches, in the various missions also. Every Friday, we meet in the churches, and we can see Muslims and other people coming, where we get a chance to preach to them. Our prayer is that God helps us to be able to reach all these people. Because of this, these children who are coming, there are some of them who are orphans, and we try to help them, locating them in their houses. We can't keep them at a place because it will be very expensive. And we keep them in their houses and try to know their needs. And sometimes we can go to a place and a child is of a need of about maybe some books to go to school. And the chief of the queen mother of the town is, and I are the patrons. And they are helping us to be able to reach those children also. So we want to go along with what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 27. It says, Christianity, which is pure and faultless before the Lord, is to look after widows and the fatherless. So we are trying to reach all these areas. So my prayer is that you continue to help us in prayer, so that we'll be able to do our best. And this time, let us open our Bibles. I'm reading from Psalm 51, verse number 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. There is joy in salvation. Amen. And this joy can be lost. You can never lose your salvation, but that joy can be lost. But a sinner will never enjoy that kind of enjoyment. A sinner will not experience it. He can never experience it, and will never experience it unless he repents. So if you are lost, I'm pleading with you that the only thing that you ever can get in your life, which is more precious than anything that you have ever got, is to be saved. Because the soul is priceless, something that Jesus Christ bought with his own blood. He didn't pay anything with like any corruptible thing like silver or gold, but with precious blood. And so the soul is more precious. And so if you're here and you're not saved, I'm pleading with you to have that kind of joy, because there are many things that people are following in this world: pleasure, power, wealth, fame, but there is nothing like the joy of salvation. Amen. And David, he uttered these words. After David got saved, it reached a point that if you read 2 Samuel chapter 11, the Bible says it was a time for the kings to go to war. And David, instead of going to war, he stayed in his apartment, and one time he was on the top of his building at a top floor, and he watched a lady who was taking her bath, and He had lust for the lady and laid with the lady. But one thing that we've learned from this place is that the devil uses the idle hands. If you have something to do for the Lord and you don't do it, the devil will give you something to do. David, this time, though he was saved, he committed adultery. And we all know the story this lady, Bathsheba, was the wife of Uriah, who was in war. So David invited him because the lady took him. She was pregnant. And he knew the law, the Mosaic law, that if somebody have an affair with somebody's wife, that David was a king and he knows the law. So he tried to make a way so that the fault would not be his or it would not be laid on him. So he invited Uriah to the house, and we all know the story that Uriah didn't go to the house, and he finally wrote a letter to give it to him to go to give to Joab, who was the commander of the army, and he got Uriah killed. And God sent the prophet in Nathan to go to him, and he gave him a parable, and he told him that there was a rich man who had a lot of sheep, a big flock of sheep. And there was a poor man who had only one sheep. And when the rich man got a visitor, a traveler who came to him, he went to that poor man and took his sheep and to prepare for that wayfaring man. Before he ended, David said that man need to be killed, and he has to pay fourfold. We all know the story. David, because David said that, and Nathan told him that he is the one, David pleaded with the Lord, but the Lord forgave him. He spared his life. But David had to pay for it. David had to lose four children. The child that was, the lady was bearing, died, and he lost Absalom, he lost Ammon, and he lost Adonijah. Because he said he has to pay fourfold. That means if we are saved and we don't get something to do for the Lord and we backslide, and if you get into sin, the Lord will chastise us. So David, whenever he uttered these words, he was deeply and consciously aware that he has departed from the Lord, because the sense of the gracious presence of the Lord has already departed from him. And he was in view of his polluted heart that he cried that, God, give me a clean heart. Having lost his joy of salvation, he wanted to restore it earnestly. He tried everything to restore it. And so that he uttered these words in Psalm 51 verse 12, that the Lord restored the joy of my salvation. As I told you, that joy can be lost. We all know that whenever you get saved, you are on fire for God. But if you don't continue with what you should do, and you stay idle, you will lose the joy, and you can backslide to a state that some people will look to you as maybe somebody who is not saved. But I know you cannot lose your salvation. But that joy can be lost. And that joy of salvation can be lost. There's joy in that salvation. It pertains to somebody who is saved. The person has the joy, and he has the joy of the Lord, and there is everything in that salvation to inspire joy, which beneficially affect the past, the present, and the future. Somebody who was lost, what was the condition of the person? He was an enemy to God, but when he got saved, that enmity is no more. Love takes over the enmity, and he is condemned. But justification supersedes the condemnation, and that person finds joy. And in the present sense, when the person is saved, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, that now we are the sons of God. Now in this time of infirmities of the world and the trials of life, When somebody knows that he's a son of God, there is joy in it. There is consciousness. If you have the consciousness that you are a son of God, there is joy in it. And there is a promise that everything will work together for your good. And in the future too, the same verse, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, it did not appear how we shall be. It did not yet appear how this disembodied we shall be this body after we this body have been dissolved. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, Bible says, when this our house, this earthly vessel, or this tabernacle is dissolved, we house a house where we are going. And so this body is going to be dissolved, but there is joy in salvation, and we have hope that we are going to live after the resurrection, and it is going to be glorious. As exemplified in the personality of the saints, there is joy, and we can form just a feeble conception about how it will be. The future shall be blissful. There is joy in salvation in the past, in the present, and the future. In the past, because we were sinners, and now we are saved. In the present, because in this time that this world there is full of infirmity, there is full of trials and everything, still we have that hope. Despite the fact that we still have sicknesses, we have our problems, sometimes we go into poverty and other things, there's still that kind of joy in us. But this joy that I'm talking about can be lost. The first one is by losing your first love. As the Bible says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, in the case of the church of Ephesus, that they lost their first love. Every Christian has the first love, is ardent, and there is holy joy with it. And this joy is quiver with love. But when we lose that love, the joy is lost. And we all can examine ourselves and see whether we are still in that kind of state. Because whenever we first got saved, we saw that we were so joyous, we were so on fire and so zealous for the Lord. But if you lose your first love, the joy is no more. And the second one is that if you don't read your Bible, this volume that God has given us has so much to teach us, and so much to tell us what to believe. And so if we neglect reading the Bible, there is the truth in this Bible that sanctifies us. And so if you neglect the truth of this Bible, then sin comes in, and sin creates distance and darkness between God and the soul. And so there is the joy will be lost. And again, if you lose the spirit of prayer, Christians nowadays don't pray as much. We are the salt of this world. And the Bible says we need to let the world know our savor. The Lord know, the world know our taste, because we preserve. We are preserving this world. The salt seasons. This country, if not because of Christians who are praying, it must have fallen. But because we are preserving it, because we are praying, that is still there. But when we lose the spirit of prayer, the joy is no more. Because there is always joy when the saved goes before the Lord in prayer. There is joy in him. There is joy in the prayer. But when prayer is performed in a formal way, or when we lose it, then that joy is no more. Recently, I read about a book concerning Great Britain. Great Britain was known to be a Christian country, but not Britain alone. The whole world, the Christendom is getting colder. We are no more interceding, because prayer, there is different kinds of prayer, but intercession is a welfare prayer that needs every Christian needs to do. And we pray for this world. That's why we are sustaining the world. Great Britain is known to be a Christian country, but Christianity has gone so low. Christians are not doing so much that the other religions are taking over. The largest Hindu temple, apart from that of India, has been built in London. And 650 Anglican churches, because Anglican church was founded in England, and the 650 has collapsed, has become redundant. And 300 Mohammedan mosques has been built in their places. Christianity is getting colder, and I know it is the end time sign, because the Bible says when the time is coming to end, people's love was cold. Now we don't have prayer meetings in our churches. If you begin to lose the spirit of prayer, the joy of salvation is lost. We don't feel it. You are saved, all right, but you don't feel the joy. And if you don't feel the joy, you are not on fire. You are not zealous about many things for the Lord. Amen. And another thing is to when you imbibe the spirit of the world. The Bible says you should not love the world or the things in the world. All the things in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. They are not of the Father, but they are of the world. And all of them is going to be passed away, and those who do that, the will of God shall abide. So if anyone imbibes the world, and it will be very impossible for us to live in this world with all what is going on around us, and not to have a kind of influence. But most of the time, we are injured by the influences of the world. But Christians who are on fire for the Lord cannot love the world supremely, but inordinately, they will love the world. And the inordinate love of the world, when we give in to the world, we lose our joy. Because there are so many things that we see around us. I've been here, this is the 11th time I've come to the States, and I've known in my own country, when we started our church, we were going around the week. Every day we are in church. Sometimes we pray all night. But this time, if not because of the children that I'm talking about, sometimes you go and you see their pews empty. People's love are waxing cold, because the devil is taking over. The devil is winning, because we have lost our joy. Most Christians have lost our joy. Not all of us, but most Christians have lost our joy. And because we are imbibing the world, pleasure, we don't have much to do for God anymore. The 120 people on the upper room were able to turn Jerusalem and its environs upside down within some few time. And right now, we have over 7 billion population in the world. About 4.4 billion are Christians. But just some few are practicing Christians. Some few are just doing. And Brother Brinium's son, Aaron Brinium, wrote a book, and I picked one at the minister school. The title of the book is Bringing Sinners to Christ. And in the book, he said 97% of Christians don't witness. And we know that whenever we witness and bring a lost soul to Christ, and whenever any lost soul gets saved, the Bible says there is joy in heaven. And Nehemiah 8:10 says, when the joy of the Lord is our strength. Whenever there is joy in heaven, you have that joy. A joy is something that you cannot attain. We have happiness. What happens on happiness? Something happens and you become happy. But joy is a spiritual thing that you need to attain. And God gives that joy. And there is something that we need to get to attain that joy. Like prayer, like when you are zealous for God and you try to witness for God and get people saved, you always have that joy. And this joy that we are losing is very important, and it's a misfortune that we've lost our joy. It's a misfortune that most Christians are living as if they are not saved. Because most of the time, if we profess that we have it, we need to show our possession of our faith. by professing. If we profess and we don't show by our works, because faith without works is always dead. Sometimes we can profess that we are saved, but somebody is saved, he has professed that he's saved, and he doesn't come to church. The person don't do much for God. And that means the person has lost his joy. I know he cannot lose the salvation. So this joy is need to be restored. First, for our own usefulness. As a member, if you lose the joy of your salvation, you cannot do anything much for God. You not feel happy in doing anything. In doing anything for your fellow members or for the penitent that we owe something to do for them. In order maybe to reach the orphans or the poor or other people, there is no joy for in you that it will make you to do. So for our own usefulness, we need to restore that joy. And for the glory of God, whenever Christians worship God in a way that is formal, God is not happy. When we worship God as if it is a hard thing, because sometimes you need to press the people before they come to church. It is what is happening in my area from my experience, but it is worldwide thing that is going on, and Christians are getting colder and colder. And when Christianity is performed in a way which seems to be very hard for us, then God is dishonored. Because and people in the world will not see us that something that we are performing with difficulty, something that we are doing with no happiness, then they don't see us as that Christianity is something which is glorious, that they should come and be with us. And God is dishonored. And in order to be on fire for God, we need to restore this this joy. And also for the honor of God, God is always honored if we worship him in spirit and in truth. If we come before the Lord and we feel the spirit of the Lord, if we come before the Lord with all joy, and we see that the spirit of the Lord will be with us, and the Lord is honored. But people see religion as gloomy and repulsive. And so if Christians don't have joy and they don't worship God in a kind of way that will attract the other people, people will see religion as something which doesn't have any honor, and God is not pleased. So that is why we should restore that joy. And how can we restore that joy? First, we need to confess our sins before the Lord for not be on fire. And this is natural, because myself, first, when I was having a bicycle to go around 6 missions, I was doing much than what I'm doing now. Sometimes I get discouraged, but this is when I could go more, because now I'm using a truck. Though it is weak, it cannot go to some various places, but on the main road it can go. But right now, I'm not doing as I should be doing. I tried always, but sometimes the body gets weaker. And so we need to repent of ourselves, and always I pray to the Lord that he should give me more strength. And I know if you re-examine yourself, you know where yours lies. Because when somebody went to Jesus and said, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, that a rich man went to Jesus and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And he mentioned all the commandments, and he said he has followed it. And Jesus said, "There is something that you are lacking. That lacks one thing." If you examine yourself, you know where you are lacking. Human nature is the same. And we know that if you don't stay at a level, if you don't pray all the time, if you don't read your Bible, if you don't commit yourself to the work of the Lord, you will get colder and the joy will be lost. So in order to restore this joy, we need to confess to the Lord what we have done. And if you know yourself, if you examine yourself, and if you know that you've lost that joy, then you need to go on your knees and plead with the Lord that that joy is left. Because David, after committing all these sins, saw himself that he's a sinner. And the difference between David and Saul was that if Saul was a person Nathan went to reprimand him, he would have killed him. But David bowed and pleaded with the Lord. And that's why the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. He knew he has lost the joy, so he pleaded that God give me a clean heart and restore the joy of my salvation. And I'm praying that our prayer will be that. Not all of us, those who think and those who know themselves that they've lost the joy, the first love that we have for God. I myself, I know that I need prayer. I need to encourage myself. Sometimes on the mission field, there are challenges. And sometimes you need to be encouraged. That's why we always need to pray for one another. Another thing is self-examination. If you read from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, examine yourself and prove yourself. And know ye not that you are you in the faith? And we have to examine. When you examine yourself thoroughly, you know where you fall short. I cannot come and remind anybody that this is where you fall short. But any one of us knows where he's lacking. When this man went to Jesus and Jesus said, there is one thing that you're lacking, he told him to go and sell whatever he has. Jesus will not tell everybody to do that. But anything that will take the place of God, he will tell you to remove it. God must be the first on your priorities. As Jacob, when he lost his son, Joseph, and Joseph was at the apple of his eye. And since he loved Rachel, and Rachel had two children, he took Benjamin in place of Jacob. And when Jacob saw his brothers in Egypt, he recognized them and told them that they should bring Benjamin. When they went to the father said, Joseph is dead, and I can't give you Benjamin. But the brother said, if Benjamin doesn't go, then we are going to go hungry. So this man must let Benjamin go. And let's imagine how it is. Benjamin is somebody very dear to his heart. But by not Benjamin doesn't go, that means they are going to starve. But after some time, when he let Benjamin go, he actually found Joseph. So anything that is very dear in our heart, if you don't give it away, we can't get God. God must be the first on our priorities. But many, many things are getting in our ways that we are not being able to do what we should do for God. And my prayer is that God helps us so that we don't put anything in place for God. Because if God wants you to do anything and you put anything before God, he will remove it if he wants it. But if he doesn't, then it means he will leave you just like that and it will not be well. So my prayer is anything that is more precious to you, it must be God first. And that is, we need to examine ourselves and we need to prove ourselves. The difference between proving ourselves and examining ourselves is like if I go to buy a horse and examine the horse and I see that there is no flaw on the animal. But I tell the seller that let me use this horse, let me take it home and ride it for about 2 weeks and see whether it is okay. So that if I can invest in it, it will be okay. That is proving yourself. Sometimes religion can be examined and you see it very, very nice. But if you prove it, if you go out there to show your piety, if you go out into the mission field, if you go out to do something, but if you sit down and you think you are a Christian, sometimes if you prove yourself, you know that you fall short somewhere. So you need to examine ourselves and prove ourselves and know where our first love is not there or whether we have lost the joy. And if you have lost the joy, then we have to plead with the Lord so that he can restore us. Because whenever we have that joy, we are on fire for God and we can do much for God. And another thing is to abandon anything that is barring us, anything that is obstructing us and being a hindrance in our lives that we cannot do it. Anything. Sometimes it's very difficult. Jacob has to let Benjamin go. And after Benjamin went, he saw Jacob. And sometimes when it comes to a point like when you have to leave something and to have more time for God, it is something very hard. I remember the lesson Brother Miller preached at the school. It was a very good lesson, but it was very hard for the people to accept. He was preaching about the preachers with entanglements, that many things have entangled us, and instead of going all out for God, there are so many things that we are doing and we are not doing much for God. And it is the truth, but the truth is very hard to swallow. So we need to examine ourselves. We need to remove whatever, any obstacle that is in our way that will not let us have that joy. That when the joy is there, we will do everything for God. And another thing is we should abandon the sins that we have confessed, and to be able to do what we have to do for the Lord. And I thank the Lord for saving my soul. And if you look at my background and somebody like me whom the Lord have saved, then it is wonderful, because my grandparents were idol worshippers. They were pagans. My grandparent that I stayed with was a fetish priest. And so somebody like me to get saved, it is by the grace of the Lord. When I was 10 years, I knew I was lost, because my father was a preacher, and he couldn't read the Bible. But my father could speak 9 languages, but he couldn't read the Bible. But he used to preach, and I read the Bible for him. And during those times, I got to know that I was lost. And in our church, we go forward and accept Christ. But after accepting Christ, Christ did not accept me, because after that, I know that there was still a vacuum in me. I know that there's something in me that needs to be filled. So I went there and told the pastor that I'm not okay. After I've been baptized, I said I'm not okay. But they said you need to come once. So finally, I left the church, and God in His own mercy saved me after 14 years. So if anyone is here who is lost, and the joy that I'm talking about, because if anybody is saved and he's lost the joy, he's still going to heaven. But maybe you not have the reward that we should have. But if you are lost and you are here, I'm pleading with you that you will never, if you don't repent, you will never have that kind of joy. And the joy that I'm talking about is a foretaste of the joy that we have in heaven. The joy of salvation, because when I got saved, the joy that I experienced, it's not as it is now, but I can remember, and I can never forget. It can never be compared to anything, nothing. Because there are some times that I feel happy because of I've got some things, but it can never be compared to that joy that I had. And I know that heaven will be blissful. Heaven will be a place of great joy, because it's a foretaste of what we have in heaven. So if you don't have that kind of joy, then I'm pleading with you that there is nothing that can be compared to your soul. Because if all the waters in the oceans were turned to gold dust, it can never be compared to the soul. The soul is so precious, something that is very, very valuable, God is craving for, and the devil is doing everything to get. The devil will do everything. If you want money, he can give you money to take your soul. If you go to Africa, there are money rituals. People kill people to collect money, to get money. And people go to the stand of, I myself was arrested sometime in Nigeria, and I was nearly killed just because somebody wanted to use me for money rituals. People have sold their soul to the devil for money. People, right now, we are going to have elections in our country, and you will not believe it if I tell you, because people can bury some people alive just to maintain power. The worldly man's trinity is pleasure, trinity, pleasure, power, and wealth. But if you gain the whole world and lose our soul, what shall we get? So if you're here and you have not experienced that joy, I know some of us have experienced it, but we are not, it's not at the same level. We have lost it, or it has reduced. But you have never experienced it before, and you can never experience it unless you repent. So tonight, if you're here and you're lost, I am pleading with you. That's the only thing that is in your life that is more precious is your soul. Because this body is going to be dissolved. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says this body is a vessel, or it's a tabernacle. And a tabernacle is a temporal structure. We all know that when the Israelites were moving from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan, they were not living in houses. They were living in tabernacles, because whenever the God appeared in a cloud or pillar, in the fire of pillar or in the cloud of smoke, they have to bundle their tabernacle and follow. They are always on the run. And so they were living in tabernacles. That means a temporal structure. So this body is a temporal structure. It is housing the real man in us. The real man, which is the soul, does not die. That is what God saves. And that one can never die. So if you leave this body, this earthly vessel, which if it is destroyed, we are going to live in a house which is built by God. That is where Paul said to die is gain. He was even groaning. He was even trying to go there. It reached a time that when he was in prison, he said, my time of departure is near, and I am ready to be offered, but I've run the race, and I know I'm going to receive the crown. If we can reach that point and be able to proclaim with Paul, said that, I am persuaded. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that whatever I've given to him, he's able to keep it against that day. So those of us who are saved, we know we have a place. And the joy that we're experiencing now is the foretaste of the joy that we are going to have in heaven. But if you're not saved, I'm pleading with you that there is joy in salvation. That heaven will be joyful. Hell is a place that I can never describe it, because Jesus himself mentioned it about 70 times in the New Testament alone. Jesus mentioned about a rich man who had everything, but when he opened his eyes after his death, he was in torment, and he was crying for a drop of water. That means it tells you how serious it is, how grievous it is. So you need not go there, because this is the time. This is the only time that you have. Tomorrow is not promised to us, and we are trekking on a dangerous surface. Last 2 weeks, I was in Missouri, and during the prayer request, somebody said when he was coming to church, a guy was coming and he had a wreck just in front of him, and the guy died. And we can leave this earth at any moment. And any moment that if you leave this place, if you leave this earth and you are not saved, you are going into hell, to the devil's hell. In our language, we call hell bonsem jim, that is devil's fire. That is why we say devil's fire. It is the devil's fire, because Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, it said the priest was created for the devil and his angels. It was not created for man. But any man who rejects the gospel, any man who rejects the opportunity to get saved, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the people were, when he was on the donkey, and the people were shouting, those people said they should, Jesus should talk to the disciples to stop. But he said, if they even stop, he can talk to the rocks for them to praise him. And the disciples started praising the town, how it is. But Jesus started weeping over Jerusalem. And he said in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, he said, the time of your peace came, but you overlook it. And now it's too late. If you read the NIV, he said, the time of your peace came, you overlook it. So when the time of the opportunity of your salvation came and you overlook it, the Bible says it's too late. And when Jesus mentioned that after 37 years, Emperor Titus came and destroyed the whole Jerusalem, and 600,000 people were killed. And since then, Israel had never been the same. They rejected the Savior. He came to his own, but his own did receive him not. The Bible says those of us who receive him, he has given us the power to become the sons of God. And so if you are here and you are lost, I am pleading with you, because if I tell you about my background and God has saved me, then it's a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. Because I did not do anything. My grandparents were adults, and we inherit from the maternal side. We the Ashanti inherit from my maternal side. So my grandparents have control over me. So they took me away from my father, and I was brought up by my grandparent, who was a fetish priest. But at the age of six, I could see that what they were doing was not right. Though I didn't know anything about conviction, but in me, I saw the, what they were doing was not right. So there are so many things that they do in the house that I didn't like. And there are some things like something like palm nuts is forbidden. It's forbidden. And I go out and pack my handful of palm nuts and throw it into the house, and it goes straight into that coven of the fetish. And after the one time they discovered it, they just beat me and drove me away. And the Bible says in that, we all know that the second commandment, that we should not save any graven image, any likeness of anything in the heavens, on the earth, or under the earth. And anybody who does that, the Bible says there's a curse upon the four generations. And this is the generation where I came from. But the Lord found it fit to save me. But for you people, I know some of you were born into the churches. But you have been coming here, and the pastor has been preaching, and loads of sermons have been coming your way. So if you have this opportunity, or any time that you have the opportunity to listen to the trumpet sound of the preacher, I'm pleading with you that time is not on our side. Everything shows that this world is getting to an end. And if God has found his fate to save me and to save us in Africa, we thank you people for allowing yourself to be used by the Lord. Because over 15 years now, the churches have been spreading in Africa. Now we have 9 churches, 2 in Kenya, 5 in Ghana, 1 in Nigeria, 1 in Liberia. And we have about 11 missions. So it is spread from the east to the west. And now we are getting the truth back. But you know what have we seen? The white man in our country is called Kwesi Bruni. That means Sunday born white man. That means we know that the white man brought the gospel. That's why we say that. But God has used you people to bring the gospel to us. We were doing human sacrifices and idol worshiping everywhere. But right now the truth is coming back. And here the church is going down. Most of the churches are going down. That's what I've verified over the years. And we need to pray. We need to be on fire for the Lord. We need to restore, get the joy of our salvation restored. Because when we have that joy, we can do much for the Lord. Thank you for your time. Thank you for allowing me to come this way. And I'm praying that we should receive this message as a message from the Lord, not because I just want to reprimand anybody. But the Bible says, tells Ezekiel that he's a watchman and should tell the people that if he doesn't warn the people and the sword comes and take the life of the person, his blood shall be required of him. And so this is the trumpet sound, and it must be blown at his shield. There shall be no, I cannot dilute the gospel. It must be spoken as it is. And so I am praying that as I am examining myself and know my where I have fallen short, I'm praying that the Lord should restore me and bring back my joy so that I can do more for God. And I'm praying that you also examine yourself, and if you know that you are falling short somewhere, you also examine yourself and pray to the Lord so that the churches will come back and we will do much for the Lord. And we pray for the nations, we pray for our nation, and we pray for the world at large so that the Lord through us can save souls for himself. Thank you so much for your time. May the Lord bless you and continue to pray for me. I have 8 children, and 3 are saved. 1 has not reached the kid age of accountability, and 4 are lost. They are still seeking. And the first priority or my wish is to find them saved. So you continue to remember me in your prayer anytime that you go on your knees so that the Lord will find fit to save my children. And I have 19 people in my house now. Those boys who come to the Bible clubs, and some who don't have parents, I've accepted them in my house. And my only wish is that they get saved. Not because I can feed them, not because I can do anything, but just because I want to help them get saved. And recently, some of them got saved, and I thank the Lord for that. And you continue to pray so that all these people will get saved. And the Lord will continue to bless us. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor.